Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on March 8th.
Finally, March 8th.
Time of year, man. 2018.
Did you see as soon as it turned to March, the weather got better?
I know.
I love that.
I know.
I was so cold through all of February.
Well, yeah, it was cold.
It was so crazy.
Soak it up today, baby, because the rain is coming back on Friday and Saturday.
Unbelievable. Hey, happy Oscars weekend. Did you have a blast?
I did. We did have a blast. Did you all have a blast?
Absolutely.
It was pretty good.
We were on stage, actually.
Yeah. Best place to be, though.
Exactly.
That's a good place. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. We had a pretty full house for being on stage,
too.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Really amazing.
I like that. People getting out and going to see theater and then coming home maybe DVD or
DVRing.
Thank you. I don't do that. I watch Netflix all the time. DVRing the Oscars,
yes.
Right? So, yeah, it's totally true. If I don't see it live, it basically didn't happen for about 8 years in my life.
Right.
That's just the sad truth. That includes everything, like the Super Bowl. You know, I'm still like back in the 80s. I'm anxious to see John Elway take the final drive to win the Super Bowl. I think I've got that on tape somewhere. So.
I can't get into the Super Bowl. I don't like basketball.
A great line. Michael, how was your party, man?
It was great. Thanks for asking. You know, I really, I haven't given a party like this for, it was like 10 people, but
right.
I haven't done it for a long time. And so I wanted everything to be very nice. It was kind of a potluck thing. And my friends brought the most amazing food. I mean, way above and beyond.
Michael judges his friends based on their culinary abilities.
Like I'm kind of like that.
When I came to the studio, he was like, let me see you cook before I decide if we're going to talk, man. So, seriously, the best cooking friends I've ever heard of. This is pretty impressive.
Well, yeah. They are, but that has nothing to do with friendship.
They also happen to be really cool people, which is nice, too.
But I bought a red carpet. And it was out in front of the house, coming up to the house.
How cool.
And my neighbors all came over and said, what?
Right.
So we had people photographed.
So did you stretch it all the way down to the sidewalk?
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic.
And people out there photographing the guests coming in. And
fun.
That's awesome, Michael.
And, you know, the ballots and the voting.
Right.
And most everybody had not seen all of them. How can you get to all of these movies?
Yeah.
You know, right? And except the big ones, maybe a few choice big ones.
Sure.
And if you're an actor and have SAG screeners, then that's another thing. But I only saw one of them.
Wow.
And I didn't do too bad. I think I came in like in the fourth place.
Wow.
So I didn't feel bad about that. The movie I saw, you might have seen it, and if you haven't, you should. It's Call Me By Your Name.
Yes.
Interesting.
Good movie.
Very nice.
Fantastic.
Call Me
nice.
By My Name.
We'll call everybody by everybody's name. We'll all be good.
Your name.
Yeah. Beautiful right. film.
Yes.
Wow.
And that boy, that young boy, my goodness, what a performance.
And Armie Hammer's not ugly.
Yeah, that man could probably make some money in his career. No kidding.
He doesn't need it, however.
And what's funny, he's talented, too. I mean, it's like, obviously
so
his looks are good, but I mean, really a good actor, which is pretty impressive to see, too.
Yes, he is. Yeah. But the film won what I believed it was going to, which was, you know, best adaptation of a screen from a book. And, so it was great fun. And then the thing that capped everything off is I had ordered from Amazon Oscars. And they look just like the Oscar, but it not can't be done, you know, exactly.
Right, of course.
I'm not allowed.
And
that's right.
When the votes were tallied and we did a cash pool and the winner, I said, but wait a minute, you're all winners. And I gave everybody an Oscar.
Aww.
And
that's fantastic. Now, do you guys stay for the entire show?
Yeah.
Great. That's great. Yeah. I heard a lot of people who really liked the performances this year. They thought that the hosting was very good this year. And, I mean, given a lot of the tone that was going on, I think people really felt like it was still an escape, which is a great thing to see as well.
And I think, the set was extraordinary.
Really was. I mean, you could tell that they wanted to show Hollywood's best side. That was really cool.
Well, they certainly did that.
No doubt.
Easily.
No,
still
miss
the dancing.
And how about Jane Fonda?
Do you? You miss the big numbers?
I miss the big numbers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
How many times did you perform on the Oscars?
9 or 10.
Did
you really?
Wow. Well, and of course, obviously, the Oscars have changed so much over the years. Yeah. But the films this year I thought were particularly good.
Oh, yes.
I thought they were really exciting, and I thought there were some really good screenplays out there. A lot of good stuff going on.
Great performances.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Did you think Shape of Water would take it?
I was surprised, to be honest, because there had been a lot lot of plagiarism talk coming up, like that story had been kind of taken from other sources and all that. And I thought that was going to kind of hurt it, but it didn't seem to. I thought the film was a great achievement. But there'd been a lot of kind of hubbub, negative hubbub, hubbub leading up to it. And when that did happen, when it kind of came out, I thought that's going to really take a hit. I mean, right around Oscars, it just seems so contrived, but it didn't hurt it. And I think the overall picture was such a close race, too. So many people liked so many of those films. To see Shape of Water win was kind of cool.
And it was a fantasy, so I think this is the time of fantasy. I mean, even La La Land.
That's very true. Fantasy. That's a good point, an excellent point, a good through line for the last couple of years. Yep. I did think there were some other great films as well that were kind of out there that maybe got overshadowed some. But it was interesting when you looked at Best Short and Best Animation and all that. They all had so much credibility. Mm. There was nothing that wasn't done well this year, which was nice to see. So.
Yeah, well, I think I was pretty okay with, who won what in it. Shape of Water did not win very much, but it was nominated for much more than it won. But
What, it won 4 or 5, but they were up for 13.
Yeah.
13?
Yeah, but they got Best Picture, so what do you want? Yeah.
Right, that's the one.
That's great.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, when you performed on the Oscars for all these times, was it, the feeling is obviously such a palpable excitement when you're there. Is that hard to be around with everybody so nervous and so up all the time? Time, or is it just a blast?
No, it was exciting see all the stars.
How great.
Because I'm still enamored with stars.
Sure.
I still get that. So we're dancing and we're performing. And backstage we can hear the little bit of gossip. Trouble. And
I'll bet,
and everything. It's fun.
When you were dancing, Stan, on those shows, was it with the person who was singing the song and you were serving?
No, primarily we did an opening number.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we did a costume number, musical number. Whatever they asked us to do, the choreographer. So that was what was great. I have a terrific television mentality, easy in, easier out. So it was great for me because we worked on that show, and then the day afterwards, I don't even know what we did.
Wonderful. Exciting. And in that beautiful theater.
That's right.
There.
I think we forget sometimes what a production the Oscars has to be as well, how many good people behind the scenes are working on that, all the work that goes in beforehand, a lot of people doing good stuff to make that go up without a hitch.
Well, the audience that goes around the world, I think it's bigger than the Olivier Awards.
Wow.
I didn't even know the Olivier Awards were broadcast. Here.
I don't think that there were. That's what I'm saying. The Oscars go around the world. I don't think the Olivier Awards do.
Okay.
That's amazing.
It was certainly nice to see Jane Fonda. She just is...
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what, though? She looked a little different. She looked like she didn't have makeup on, really. Not too much makeup on.
Wow.
And her facial expressions somewhat reminded me of Carol Burnett. Mm. On just that appearance.
That's so funny. Episodes of Grace and Frankie, she takes all her makeup off,
right.
And it's in this last season, and that's a very daring thing to do.
Especially, that's
and
very true.
She's still so stunning.
That's amazing.
What is she, 75?
It does not matter. Whatever. She's one of those women that just has proved that beauty just continues on no matter what.
Age is just a number.
Well, her papa did the same thing. Aged very gracefully as well.
Absolutely.
So that's a cool thing to see. Yeah. Well, Michael, hey, we should tell people who they're listening to here today.
I think we should.
Obviously, it is March 8th, and we are finally starting to see the sun again, as we said. And, of course, it is a big week indeed with the arts and, as we said, the Oscars. Of course, absolutely, now we have the opportunity to talk today about some great theater, don't we, Michael?
We surely do. And today we'll be talking about, ladies and gentlemen, a very poignant show on stage now at the Group Rep Theater Company in North Hollywood, Lonnie Chapman Theater upstairs, The Cape and the Klan.
That's right. It's been extended through March 18th because of popular demand, which is always a wonderful thing to hear, and this is an important show. We're very happy to have the show's director as well as one of the very talented stars with us today.
Yes, we are. Let's go ahead and welcome them now.
Let's
that sound
do
like
it.
I'm reading something?
Not at all, Michael. Totally improv. We have no script on this show, I'll have you know. Off the cuff, that's what they call us.
Let's hear it, ladies and gentlemen, for Kristen Towers Rawls and Stan Mazin.
That's right. All right. Sit down, everyone, please.
I'll
tell you, we got an unruly audience here. Did you see how quickly they shut up when you told them to, though?
That's true.
You can tell you have children.
That's right.
She has power.
She used her mama voice.
Yes, that's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit down. Well, it's obviously great to have you guys here, and we're going to have a lot of fun today, but we're talking about an important show about an important topic. We want to get into some of that and kind of how this came to be, but also how audiences are responding to it today. It sounds like it's been amazing, yeah?
Absolutely. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Stan start since he directed it and cast me in the show. So
I don't know why I did that.
Oh, yeah. Because she's immensely talented, as I recall.
I gave him money.
Very nice.
Yeah, I had directed one of the co-writers of the show a couple of years ago, and he came to me and asked if I would like to direct a project which turned into a production at our theater. And it was based on an original a true story, true events that took place in 1951.
Right.
The Cape and the Klan deals with the Superman radio show and the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm.
And without giving too much of the story away, it's about this writer who infiltrates the KKK. They think he's going to make a nice story about them, and he goes to his friend who's producing the Superman radio show, and they do an expose.
Wow.
And the way that it's done, the way that it's written, the way that the cast that we have is just incredible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be prouder.
And this is one of the great acts of journalism, the bravery of journalism, where people infiltrated mental hospitals and things like that throughout the 1800s and early 1900s to say, hey, look, there's stuff going on and nobody's talking about it. We need to say something, which is such an amazing thing as well. Well, Michael, I'm anxious to hear more about this show and talk to these two great people. But before we do that, that's right. Absolutely.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who are seeking enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, culture, and the loved ones that you have around you in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
And we have some very special, exciting news today.
Breaking news here on State of the Arts. That's right.
Princess is running a sweepstakes, especially for State of the Arts, and anyone who visits our State of the Arts page on the LA Radio Network page, and or, you know, whether you're listening to the show live now or you will download it perhaps later, it's very simple. What do they have to do?
All you have to do is go on in there. You'll have the opportunity of winning a Princess Medallion Cruise for Two. The Princess Medallion ships, of course, are loaded with the most current social onboard digital technology. Just one click on our Princess logo on that page. That's on our LA Talk Radio page. And listeners are on their way to a possibility of winning that fabulous cruise to an amazing destination.
So you really can't lose.
Just go on there. You click on LA Clock, Talk Radio page, and then you go straight there and you check out our page. You'll see Michael's smiley face right there. And you click on the Princess Cruises logo, and you'll get instructions on kind of how to enter the contest, which is a great thing. Michael, have you been on a Princess Cruise?
I have, but not for years, and certainly not one like this Medallion, because what that is, what this technology is it's for the passengers. So if you are with your children, if it's a family vacation,
right,
and you and your husband are by the pool, and your children have wandered away, you can track them.
Mm.
And it's a bracelet that is given to every passenger.
What if I'm trying to lose mine?
Right.
Whoops.
Can I not sneak off the ship? That's really what it's for, so parents don't sneak away all
day.
So
you don't put a contract on for the kids. You
Okay. Yeah. Well, or if you want to order appetizers in your room upon your return.
That's the way to do it.
You do it quickly, and it's there when you arrive.
That's
Princess
great.
Obviously cares
fabulous
so much
service.
About their passengers, which is such a cool
service.
Thing. And this really is a state-of-the-art line with a state-of-the-art package.
So. Very much so. And I think that they've always been a little bit ahead on the technology. So
no doubt about it.
I mean, other ships are doing it too, but not quite like this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
obviously a tremendous opportunity we'd like to acknowledge as well, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts,
absolutely,
no doubt about it.
They're such a great resource for the arts, to be sure. And speaking of great things, Andrew, what happened in your week since I've seen you?
You almost never ask me that question anymore. I'm so glad that you asked. I had a busy week. Obviously, I was in the theater a lot for fight choreography stuff and then voiceover jobs. And I had to work on Oscar Sunday, so I was driving out and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But a couple really cool things going on. There's a production of Beauty and the Beast in Orange County that's going on right now. And so many people emailed State of the Arts and dropped social media stuff saying that they heard the Million Dollar Quartet people sing. Of course, Cole, all the people down at 3D Theatrical, and the great stuff they did. And you can see a clip of that on our Instagram and, of course, on our Facebook page. You can find links there as well. That show was amazing, Michael. Yeah, it got so many good comments.
Yeah, I saw it. It was wonderful.
Did you have a good time?
Had a wonderful time.
I'm so glad. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I was going to say those boys. You know,
I know.
I mean, in our discussion with them, you know, we got to one of them said, you know, there are a lot of productions of it out there, but if you aren't, and not saying that they were bad productions, but if you aren't educated into the lives of these people,
the legacy,
and mm-hmm. breathe, you know, their lives into your soul when you're playing their who they are, because they're live people,
yeah,
that were famous on
yep.
top of it, that it's just not the same experience.
Yeah, those guys right. were wonderful. Yeah, wonderful, those performers.
And Miss Visnick was amazing as well.
Fabulous.
She was something special. Yeah. She's so great.
She was one of our second place contestant in
Stage Star. That's
yeah.
right.
About
That's
in
right.
2013.
Well, Michael, I think we have certainly told people about the great things going on in California, but now we have a chance here to talk to the man.
Yes.
I had such a good time learning about this gentleman last night, looking over his career and all the great things going on. Let's go ahead and bring him in.
Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, performed as an actor in Broadway's High Spirits, Bajur, Holly Golightly, and Walking Happy. At the Group Repertory Theater, he had starring roles in Company, Broadway Bound, California Suite, Midsummer Night's Dream, and Awake and Sing, among others.
He also acted and danced on the Carol Burnett Show for over 10 years. He starred in the film Ocean Club, which played at the Las Vegas Wynn Hotel for over a decade. He has choreographed and is an ADA award recipient and has been director choreographer for more than 50 shows.
We couldn't begin to list all of his artistic achievements here, but we are so privileged to have him in studio with us today and to talk about his latest directorial venture, the world premiere of The Cape and the Clan, with Group Rep on stage now through its extended run of March 18th. Please give another welcome to Stan Mazin.
Yeah.
Wow. My God, Welcome. Who is this guy? I want to meet him.
He's fantastic. We're glad. You know, we have him on State of the Arts today. You can listen to his interview.
I certainly will.
Stan, you got to tell me, one of my favorite performers of all time is Carol Burnett. I love what she does. Tim Conway had the chance to meet one time, and yeah. I think that group of people just captured time
magic.
In such an unusual way.
It was magic.
Must have
absolutely
been.
Absolutely magic because of her. She was
right.
absolutely the maidenhead of that show, and she's so multi-talented and so genuine and
yeah.
real that it was certainly that 10 and a half years was a highlight of my life. And I'm only 39.
Wow.
So, but she was just incredible to work with. I was fortunate enough to do some bits on the show, and she was so kind and so giving and always genuine.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, that's because life was different, you know, in that era. I really believe this. You know, we didn't have all this technology pushing us around and making us obsessed with it. And, you know, you turned on your TV, and who didn't? Most people in America would not go out on a Saturday night to go to dinner or anything until they saw the Carol Burnett Show, and then they went.
Right.
Appointment television,
right.
no doubt. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like that anymore, because you can see everything anywhere at the drop of a hat, which in some ways is convenient, but other ways it takes the thrill out of waiting for something special to happen.
Mm-hmm. When you watch as I turn this around and speak up for my millennial friends here, you can go online now and check out clips of the amazing Carol Burnett Show if
yes,
you go on YouTube.
Because
yeah,
truly, right? Truly, this is an amazing thing. I mean, if you weren't there for it, and of course it was before my time, but I saw it on Nick at Night, mm-hmm. I think years later, and I mean, point. Yeah, I'm the only 13-year-old sitting there watching Nick at Night. You know, I'm like, oh, I love it, you know. But she was so funny, and the tug she did on her ear as a signal to, I believe it was
her grandmother.
Yeah, so, and she spoke so intelligently about so many topics, but also had so many great stars on. One of my heroes, Jimmy Stewart, was a huge fan of hers and a great friend.
Big fan of hers.
And vice versa, from what I understand as well.
So. Well, she had everybody.
She was a big fan of his. Yeah. She just loved him. When they surprised her by having him on the show, she almost fainted.
Amazing.
Almost fainted. It was so exciting. So exciting.
Do you know, I was a page at CBS, and that was one of the shows that I was assigned to. And I got had the opportunity to see Vicki Lawrence come on that stage to do her screen test to become the other player on the show.
Great.
And I mean, just, you know, she looks so much like Caroline.
Yeah.
I
right,
mean, that
right.
alone must have given her a huge advantage. But she was funny and she was good.
But a disadvantage too, right? I mean, you want to be
suppose.
The only redhead, right?
But she was her sister.
But she learned so much from Carol and the other players.
Yeah.
She really learned. You could watch her week after week doing more and more character work.
Wow.
And when they finally did the Mama series, the family series, and because originally Carol was supposed to play Mama.
Wow.
And Carol, being as kind as she is, said, I think we can let Vicki do that and let me do Eunice.
Wow.
And it
what a great story, Stan.
Yeah.
Amazing. I've never heard that
And
before.
It's true.
Wow. So obviously your experience with her was such a positive one. I thought it was interesting, too, at how well her comedy stands up today. You go back and look at it, and it's obviously family-style comedy. I mean, it was on primetime television, but it is laugh-out-loud hilarious. And when you see her and Harvey Korman and Tim Conway break up and not be able to hold it together and still deliver the punchlines that they have to deliver, you realize that the art of comedy is something that has to be studied and pushed forward.
Tim,
it's an amazing thing.
Tim was so brilliant on that show because he never let them know what he was going to do until the cameras were rolling, ever. They had this expression when they got to a little section that they thought he was going to do something on. They'd use the expression saver, 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 saver. They'd skip that section, go on to something else. It got to the point with Harvey Korman that all he had to do was catch Tim's eye just slightly, and with anticipation, Harvey was gone.
Fantastic.
Absolutely gone.
Fantastic. Well, this is a great show to talk about, and I love the Carol Burnett show, but we've got something important to talk about. The play you're directing now, The Cape and the Clan, how did this come about? Where did you decide that you were going to, you talked a little bit about it earlier, but where did you decide that this was the right time, the right venue, and you had the right cast to make this happen?
Well, they came to me, the writer, Ted Ryan, and came to me, the co-writer. And when I read it, I said, let me read it first before we do a project. So when I read it, I couldn't wait to get back to him and tell him, I think this is very timely, particularly with our political situation, which I will not get into. But it is very, very timely today. And what it says about racism, bigotry, and it's just so prevalent to what we should be thinking now.
Yeah.
It should be like almost like taught in school, I think, because it's so good. And the cast does so well with what they're given, the material that they're given.
Yeah.
And I just think that this is the right time for a show like this.
And the fact that it's historical, I think, is so crucial
and
as well.
And true,
We've seen so many commentaries on race relations and that sort of thing, and the truth is there's never been racial harmony in the world. If we can do that in the next coming generations, we will have done something that absolutely has no template. And that's something that I think is so important for us to discuss. I mean, you go back to the Greeks and Troy, and you go back to all this. This has never been a peaceful time. It's not like we went wrong, you know. It's like this has been perpetuation of everybody doing things wrong since their first fears took over and dominated their action. And this place speaks to how people in the 1950s, one of the hardest times to live. You're dealing with civil rights, but you're dealing with fear and hurt and all kinds of things from past relationships. And people stood up and said, hey, let's go find out what this Klan, which had been an organization in the South that sponsored Boy Scout troops. I mean, that's how assimilated they were.
Group.
That's right. And so many clubs. And yet at the same time, somebody said, hey, let's really find out what they're doing. And let's push society forward and say, let's not let hate have power and money, which I think is a fantastic thing.
Absolutely.
Certainly a great message right now.
Absolutely.
Well, and to think that they're still around.
Right.
That's extraordinary.
And growing again.
Yeah. That's terrifying. Yeah. That's terrifying. I think there's a couple things, too, that we can talk about with this show that are just fun theatrically. The show's presented in a little bit of an unusual way, right? The theater that you're in is the group rep theater, the upstairs theater,
upstairs.
Which is an
theater,
intimate space.
Very much black box. So minimum staging, really.
Right.
Minimum sets. Costumes are lovely. The way that it's done is very, I think, cinematic.
Yeah.
Because even though some of the scenes are very, there are a lot of scenes in it.
Yeah.
But some of the scenes are very short. They're like a half a page or something.
Wow.
But the way that they're done, it's very beginning, middle, end.
Almost movie dialogue,
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes.
Interesting.
Really good.
And it's dramatic comedy. Dramatic
and yes. The most of the humor comes from the radio players.
Right.
Which Kristen is certainly one of them.
I saw a little clip.
Yeah. And it's, so the humor comes from there, but it is honestly deadly serious.
Yeah.
It's interesting serious. Because the beginning of the show, the radio players, we have this very fun scene. And the audience is so happy, and they're laughing. And then the second scene is where we meet
KKK. Hit them over the head.
That's amazing.
And the third scene is us again, and you can tell the audience is like, I should not be laughing right now.
Right.
It's a very different feel, and we've all talked about it backstage, how the second scene really sets them up for this is what this is really about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously a cool thing, too, in that this is such a serious topic, but, I mean, it's an absurd situation, too. I mean, to go in and hang around these people and not go off on them and start screaming and to actually, you know, go undercover and pretend to be part of this had to have been one of the most surreal experiences.
And a guy
life.
Really did it. Right. This writer yeah. really did this.
And do you yeah. remember the gentleman's name?
Oh, gosh, what's his name?
The real writer. No, I do not.
I'm trying to remember his name.
I couldn't find it.
We don't use his real name in the show.
Right. And it's interesting, too, because I read a little bit about the story, but it obviously was. I mean, he had death threats out on his life.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
yeah,
it's terrifying.
And that is part of our show.
And they did, I think, 17 episodes mm-hmm. on the Superman radio show based on this.
Wow.
And they didn't call it the KKK. They called it the cult of the fiery cross.
Of the Flaming Cross.
Well, we call it the Flaming Cross, but they called it the fiery cross
right,
on the show.
Because
they couldn't.
We have to paraphrase.
Boy, they're good at coming up with those grandiose names.
This was on the radio.
On the radio,
And it was the radio network, and it was, I think my father said it was Kellogg's, I believe, that was the real sponsor.
He'd listen to it at the time.
Because my dad was born in 1936.
Her dad is phenomenal.
So
wonderful performer.
He really is.
Wow.
And he actually started in radio, and so he remembers hearing these shows as a little boy. So that's pretty cool.
I'm a huge fan of the old Dragnet series, sponsored by Lux Soap. You know,
Lux,
and it's,
yes.
You listen to all these different ones, you realize that radio was such an important tool in people understanding storytelling and promoting the arts. It's an amazing thing
Again,
as well.
Something that on a Saturday night, you know, people would stay
gather around
to
the radio
to,
for
yeah.
sure.
That's right. That's right.
Sweet. Well, it sounds so interesting and different. I like this. This because you know, we do a lot of shows here which are generally more well-known shows, mm-hmm. and this one sounds like a gem.
Well, I think it's the beginning of a long passage for them,
mm-hmm.
and I think I see this show not necessarily on Broadway, but I certainly see it off Broadway.
And this had been workshopped before, but had it ever been performed fully?
No, never workshopped
either. So this is a world premiere. We did the reading
at our theater.
Wow.
I was not a part of that reading.
None of the original people that did the reading were part of this show.
Why is that?
Partially because they did not audition, because they were not available or whatever, because work. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you get yourself in a contract, you can't get out of it, of course.
Absolutely. So we had open auditions. We, of course, try to cast within the theater. We have a few actors that we cast outside of the theater because we didn't feel that it was... We felt they were right for the roles. But the cast, the ensemble, I would call it an ensemble because even though some may have larger roles than others, they are truly an ensemble work, the way they work together.
Well, this show is interesting, and it's got an important message, and it's obviously very well presented. So I saw there's some film clips. Are those available to the public as well?
That I don't know.
To the group rep page, there is a montage that was put together of interviews from our interviews from our cast and our director and the writer, one of the writers. The other writer, Tim Penevec, lives in Chicago, and he came out for our opening, but he wasn't there.
And he is an actor.
Yes, he's also
like
an actor.
You are.
Very nice. It's very nice. I don't like other actors. They take all my parts away from me, especially those good-looking ones like Mr. Hammer. I got to tell you, this is an interesting show, and I agree that it's got a future ahead of it, a great future. I've always believed that a well-told truth is so much more enthralling than a fiction. Even a great fiction, a well-told truth has such a meaning, such a depth, and this certainly has that. Now, if this young woman sitting next to you, Stan, tries to leave, I want you to grab her, because we're going to come back and talk to her in a couple minutes.
Can I count on you?
Depends right. on where he's grabbing.
You better be careful. She'll get up and run, too. Kristen, we'll be back in just a second. I want to talk to you guys so much more about this amazing show, but we need to do a live arts calendar.
Yes, we do.
Thank you. The Morgan Wixon Theater in Santa Monica presents Little Women the Musical. This timeless, captivating story is brought to life in this glorious musical filled with personal discovery, heartache, hope, and everlasting love.
Based on Louisa May Alcott's life, Little Women follows the adventures of sisters Jo, Meg, Beth, and Amy March. Jo wants to sell her stories for publication, but the publishers aren't interested. Begrudgingly heeding a friend's advice, Jo writes more from her own experiences, weaving the story of herself, her sisters, and their lives growing up in Civil War America.
Little Women embodies a complete theatrical experience, guaranteeing a night filled with laughter, tears, and lifting of the spirit. The powerful score soars with the sounds of personal discovery, heartache, and hope, and sounds of a young America finding its voice.
The show, which brought Sutton Foster her second Tony nomination, features a stunning score by Grammy Award winner Jason Howland. Little Women will be on stage at the Morgan Wixon Theater in Santa Monica from March 17th through April 14th. For tickets, more information, call 310-828-7519 or visit MorganWixon, WIXSON.org.
That's right. A great show and so many good things going on in Southern California right now.
And that's a sweet theater there.
That's right.
It's been there for some 60 years.
I directed Company there last year.
Did you?
And fantastic. Some of my cast from Company is in Little Women. They're all fantastic.
Have you seen Little Women?
I've actually directed it before, and
awesome.
I've done it. I've played Meg.
A really impressive score. I mean, for such an amazing historical story, it's got so many.
Well, and what I think is brilliant about it is they wrote the characters that are more traditional to sound more traditional, and they wrote Jo to sound contemporary because she's the one that steps outside. Mm-hmm. It's really brilliant.
That is. That's a great way to look at it, too, because that story does have that twofold way of reading it, even just in the books. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad you didn't run away on us. We kept you through our live arts calendar because I'm so excited to talk to you.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's go ahead and bring her in. Our next guest is a very talented actress, singer, dancer, and director. Her musical lineage goes back three generations of musical theater performers to her grandmother, the legendary MGM film actress Catherine Grayson.
She was named Musical Theater Star of the Year by Stage Scene LA and received Best Leading Actress, Best Director Awards from Broadway World, the Edon Awards, Stage Raw, Stage Scene LA, and Valley Theater Awards.
Her international and national touring credits include Christine and Cosette in the concert of Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis, and she played Christine in Phantom for the European touring Favorite Musicals Review.
She was Yum Yum in the tour of The Mikado, Hummingbird in Big Bad Wolf, Josephine in HMS Pinafore, and the Angel in The Christmas Box.
I am sure that my kids and her own three beautiful daughters that she had inside of 3 years, pretty impressive, please allow me to say hats off as a daddy who certainly knows how hard that is, would be most impressed by her touring role in the Junior Asparagus in VeggieTales Live. My kids watched it all the time.
I'm sure.
We could not begin to list all of her regional credits, but she has played everything from Cinderella and Into the Woods to Delee in Smokey Joe's Cafe.
She's currently directing We Will Not Describe the Conversation for 2 Cent Theater Group's Inkfest at the Hudson Theater, as well as playing The Ugly Duckling in Theater West's The Ugly Duckling, Naomi the Student in The Maverick Professor, and the role that she is here to talk today with us about is as Lana in The Cape and the Clan at Group Rep. Please give it up for the well-deserved busy actress that she is and super talented Kristen Towers-Rolls.
Thank you. Wow, what an introduction.
Well deserved.
Actually ran out of paper on my printer trying to print off all your credits. I need to send you a bill.
And I'm still playing a college student. Thank you very much. I'm so excited about that. You don't know. I'm so excited.
You're doing these projects all at once at the same time.
It's so crazy.
Why?
And I have a daughter going into high school next year. And my husband comes to me with this paperwork for high school next year where they literally are like, you have to sleep this many hours to do this much homework. Wow. And I was like, Ryan, I can't work anymore. And he was like, shut up. You know you'll work.
Plus, she's got an actress mother. You know, she's going to be able to work on 2 hours of sleep anyways,
well,
I'm sure.
It's been that way now for like 14 years. So, yeah.
Well, now you did. You took a break a little while back, but you've been working for such a long extended time here in Los Angeles. You're a center of the theater world. But
Thank you. More than that,
you're one of the best social media people I've ever met in my life. Your posts are always interesting. And, of course, where can people find you on social media right now?
So I'm on, of course, Instagram. I'm KT Rolls at on Instagram, and then I have Kristen Towers Roles actress director page on Facebook, so that anybody can like that page.
Fantastic. Always interesting stuff, and always working. This girl does not stop. So.
I don't know how she gets through the day, especially with her children, but her children have now become very useful to her because they are actresses.
Useful children? I've never
useful children. Because they have become actresses themselves.
And stage managers.
And stage managing this show.
Oh,
yes, my oldest daughter
that.
Is stage managing our show. She's turned her love to tech and lighting.
And she is wonderful.
And she's wonderful.
Wonderful, reliable, dependable. I just know that everything is going to work well with her. And she's so young.
How young is she?
She's 13.
I thought she was 15 when I hired her.
And that's my oldest child. I'm sure that freaks him out because he's known me since they were babies.
Yeah.
So.
She's done this before? Is this her first stage management?
She goes to LACES, LA Center for Rich Studies, and she was in the drama program for a couple of years there.
So she's well-trained, yeah.
Very trained. And she grew up on stage doing theater with me, without me, you know. So she, and because I'm a director, I thought, you know what? I want her to start learning this because then I have free labor.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really about me in the end. No, she really loves this. And when Kira, one of our wonderful producers, was asking, do we know someone that would be a stage manager? I said, you know, my kid might want to do this. I think we could work this out. If she doesn't have to be here too much during homework time, we can make this happen. And so she came in about a week before we opened,
wow,
learned everything immediately.
And she's
awesome. She calls the show.
Amazing.
People respect her. She tells people to be quiet. I mean, I'm very proud of her.
Have you taught your kids call times yet? When we're leaving Playland or a park or whatever, you know, I'll go up to the kids and I'll go, we're leaving in five. Thank you, five.
Oh, yeah. We get thank you five from the shower, from whatever. Yes. All the time. Yes.
I love it.
Because my husband's also a theater person. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes. So, yeah, all three of my daughters perform, do commercials.
And one of them is standing in for her on one of the other shows.
Yeah, Ugly Duckling. One of my daughters plays the Ugly Duckling when I'm not there.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's an equity contract. Thing. I'm like so proud of her.
That's fantastic.
She's great.
That's really great.
So, yeah, they're the lovely lineage is carrying on.
Yeah.
Talent will out and talent springs talent.
Thank you.
Right. Tell me about your role in this show. I've given the name of it, of course. We want to make sure everybody knows how to get tickets as well here at the end of the show. But it's called The Cape and the Klan. Of
yes.
course, Klan is spelled with a K the way they spell it there.
Correct.
How did you get this role? And I know that I know it means a lot to you. What are your feelings
on it? So I became a member of Group Rep not even a year ago. And I did a show in Nashville. I did the Broadway tryout in Nashville for a show called Part of the Plan. It's the Dan Fogelberg musical. I'd been with the show here for many years. So I didn't get to know anyone at Group Rep because I became a member and then I left and I was in Nashville for several months. So when I came back, I started working at Group Rep and doing like little readings. People were asking me to work on their projects and I saw this. And after having spent a few months in Nashville, which by the way is a very progressive city.
Nashville.
It's
I
a great
Nashville.
City. But I was there during the Charlottesville stuff. And
wow,
to be in
wow.
the South and to kind of feel like I couldn't really talk to even people in my cast. I wasn't sure where they landed.
Right.
Even though they were actors and even though everybody, it's a rock and roll show, I felt it's still the South and I still need to be careful. I don't want to offend anyone. So when I got back here I started looking at projects and I saw that this was auditioning, I read the story and read the script and I thought, this is so relevant. And I really wanted to make my art this year match what's going on politically and how my art can, you know, what I'm doing on stage can affect change.
Right.
The Ugly Duckling, it's about, you know, my sister calling me names and saying I'm ugly. And one of the producers put a new line in after certain events that have happened recently where Mama Duck says to her, words matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do more of that. I wanted to do work. And this show being so relevant and unfortunately so still happening in our world was it just sprang up for me. And I came in and Stan was like, really? You want to work on this? And I came in for one role. And when I read this role,
it
was like, oh, because she's sassy. What I love about it, and I hate to say this to any of my female friends listening, but I get to work with all men in this show. All my scenes, it's me and three guys. It's a dream job. And, you know, I'm kind of that kind of a woman where my friends are a lot of guys, and I'm kind of a tomboy. So to be able to stand up on stage, wear sassy dresses, have my red hair and my heels, and be with all men, perfect. And we are the actors who act out the radio show. So I'm the voice of Lois Lane, and I'm the voice of the mom on the commercial.
Wow.
And I just want to say, at one point I came in to Stan, and I said, we should have a jingle. Because they all had a jingle.
Of course they did.
So
right?
My friend, Mike Thatcher, who I've sung with for 10 years as a Christmas caroler in the same company, I said, let's write something. So he wrote the jingle that we sing in the show, and it's so much fun.
Oh, I'm dying to ask you to sing it.
What? Yeah. Who puts the wake up in your morning? One guess for you. Who's got 11 grams of gluten? One guess, that's who. Three tasty flavors to choose from. Snap, crackle, pop, and away. Let Snap put some snap back in your day. The gluten thing is pretty perfect for the 50s.
That's great.
That's something they would be like, yes, there's gluten in this.
Thank goodness I get my gluten dose today.
I got my gluten dose early.
I've always wondered what we're going to say like in 50 years. I can't believe I did that every day. Like, they're going to find floss is something that is carcinogenic. You know, I can't believe I just did that every day. I just got up and flossed and gave myself carcinogens.
Amazing.
But it's so funny, too, with this show. I mean, obviously, this is such a serious topic. But it looks like the group of people are based around, you know, people who really were living in that time and who had obviously different feelings and different awarenesses of what was going on. There's a lot of humor in the first act, like you said. What is your goal for people to get from this? What's the thing you want them to walk away from?
I would like people to see that one person can affect change. My friend Shalonda, who plays the African-American woman in our show, who is just an amazing woman off stage but does a wonderful job on stage, she said that in an interview. She said that one person can change things. And this writer infiltrating the KKK and risking his life and the lives of his friends that he got involved at the radio show, and these radio players knowing that in this time of McCarthyism they could have lost their careers
and not being activists, they were just working actors,
they were
doing their job.
But this was, it was an interesting time too, because the radio show was kind of on its way out and TV was coming up, so they didn't have a ton to lose at that point too. And I think that they realized it was the right thing to do, and they knew they needed to do something. And I think they're heroes too in
That's
this.
Great.
Because
That's
they
wonderful.
Were the ones that had to act it out.
And they had the guts to do it.
Yeah.
And they absolutely had the guts to do it, because they had everything to lose.
It would be really easy for me and the three men that I work with in the show to treat this kind of silly. But when we become the KKK in some of the scenes, and when we have to play, I mean, I feel physically ill. I was raised by a father who was born in 1936 during World War II. He was a Jew, and he was in New York City, and he remembers seeing Nazi rallies at Madison Square Gardens, and his parents not being able to stay in her hotels and things like that. So I was raised very socially conscious and wanting to always be more involved, and I've kind of stayed on the outskirts of that because I'm an actor. And now I feel like, no, I need to do work that really points to this and opens people's eyes to how important one person changing things can be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well said. We're talking, of course, about The Cape and the Klan at the Upstairs Theater, at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, which is for the Group Repertory Theater Company in North Hollywood. It's a very established venue. The show is playing through March 18th, Saturday matinees at 2 p.m. and Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Talk back after the February 24th.
Yes, we
which
had
we missed. How'd that go? Was that great? Must have been fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
It was good.
Yeah.
Good.
Additional shows added Friday, March 16th, and Saturday, March 17th at 8 p.m., and Sunday evening, March 18th at 7 p.m. Running time is an hour and 40 minutes, including one intermission. General admission, you can't beat this, $20.
You can beat that, Michael, because if you're a student with an ID, they'll let you in for $15.
That, well,
pretty good deal.
True.
See? See?
And senior. We'll get
that's
the
right.
Same
absolutely.
Groups
point.
Of 10 and for $10.
Groups of 10 or more for $10.
Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
What a great thing. Obviously, you can get groups of people right now who you know go out to see plays just once a week. They mm-hmm. go to do that. What a great chance to go see a great theater, too.
For almost the price of a movie.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And to get those tickets and more information, visit online, thegrouprep.com. Or call 818-763-5990.
That's
again,
right.
Upstairs at the Group Rep in the Lonnie Chapman Theater, located at 10900 Burbank Boulevard in North Hollywood.
That's right. Again, that number one more time is 818-763-5990. The name of the show is The Cape and the Klan. We're talking to one of the actresses in the show today, Kristen Towers-Rolls, who's here and joining us.
And we should give a shout-out. We'll let Kristen do that to your fellow actors in the show.
I would love to hear a few of their names mentioned, if you don't
yes.
mind.
Yes. So Scott Seifert, Michael Thatcher. Bruce Nelson, Douglas Haverty.
Doug Haverty.
Fantastic.
Max Barnaba.
Shalonda Reese.
Barnaba, Shalonda.
Natalia Santamaria and
yes,
Matthew Hoffman.
Wow,
and
sure.
Timothy Roscoe. All fantastic actors.
And obviously, wonderful. You guys have a great production team behind this as well. And Group Rep is really dedicated to doing productions that have meaning, but also that present things in a little bit of a different way, shake mm-hmm. up your theater going experience, and,
yes.
and have some fun. We've seen a few things there, and we've always enjoyed what we've seen.
Great.
To me, it's one of the best theater complexes, of intimate theater complexes out
yeah.
in general.
I absolutely agree.
Well, and
it's
after.
Always clean.
Yes.
It's an enjoyable experience. The staff is nice.
It's a true company. Yeah, I mean, everybody does everything. We clean the toilets and we act on the stage.
Yeah.
We're all, I mean, truly, we're
and
all
we
really involved.
The cleaning
and
the
we
toilet.
All care for money.
Yes, and you all care. That's very evident.
Yes.
Yeah. Very evident.
And after what's happened in 99 Seat in this town, it's so wonderful to have a home mm-hmm. base because now a lot of those theaters have gone under. So to have the company membership rule apply to mm-hmm. Group Rep
we've
is
been
really
in
nice.
Existence for 45 years.
Mm-hmm. Is that true? What,
45 years.
Wow.
We started in a little converted garage on Van Ness.
Really?
In Hollywood. Then we moved to what was a bar on Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we've been at this location on Burbank Boulevard for like 33 years.
Wow. Yeah. And it's right next to Madeline Clark,
yeah.
so everyone knows it.
And
right.
we're still renting.
Lots of auditions around
yeah.
there.
Can't miss that carriage. Out
that
front
carriage.
Of Madeline.
I want to have my dream wedding on that carriage.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. That's
truly.
that's a landmark.
Again?
Yeah. Go my second. They're coming. It's coming.
Just plan ahead. You want to plan ahead. Well, we're known for a few things on this show.
Yeah.
Among them, Michael's amazing hair. We're
yes.
very known for that. We're also known for my dancing ability. I think we're very well known for that. Most of all, we're known for telling people, hey, put down the remote, get out of the house, and go see some live.
Yes.
Theater.
Keep
take
it live,
the time
folks.
To go do something. That's exactly right.
And go see intimate theater in Los Angeles.
Yes.
That's
go
true.
Go see
that's
experimental
wonderful
stuff.
Wonderful theater. Wonderful people. A lot of people only know the larger theater.
That's right. And those theaters are great, too. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
there's most of the working Los Angeles actors are in your small theater.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And getting to be that up close to a show like this that has such a future, cool thing, because you're going to get to see about this and read about this, and it does hit those big theaters later on, which is a nice thing as well.
What time is it, Andrew?
And now, embarrassing moments.
You had to ask, Michael.
Sure.
Look what happens.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a bit we do at the end of the show because we want to remind our young performers that everything in theater that can go wrong will go wrong, and yet you can still survive it. You can turn around and turn it into something positive. Do either of you have a story where something went terribly wrong and ended up getting through it, though you thought you might not?
I have a little story that Don Percassi was one of the dancers in High Spirits, and he was the original Al DeLuca in Chorus Line.
Oh, great. Okay. Wow.
So we were getting ready for the, we had done the show, this is High Spirits, we were getting ready for the Ghost finale of the first act. and we were behind, underneath this railing that we were all jumping up and going on stage, and he's right next to me, and we had, again, we had done it for months at the time, and he turns to me and he says, "Stan, that combination we do on stage left, does it start on the left foot or the right foot?" And I said, I think the left foot, and then we jumped up. Not even time to think about it. We jumped up. We went over there. I started on my left foot. I have no idea what I did. I was not doing any choreography to anything that was set. And finally, we finished. I ran into the wings. He is laughing hysterically. I said, "Don, don't you ever do that to me again."
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah, Don Perpassi.
That's so funny, because dancers don't usually think like that. Which foot do I start on? They just kind of know
it's
the whole
automatic
thing.
It's automatic. Your body goes into automatic.
You obviously took one of my dance lessons. Yeah. Well done. Congratulations. Yeah. Very good job. Kristen, what you got for us?
So a couple of years ago, I was playing Cinderella in Into the Woods, and we had a full orchestra, and it was with an opera company, and they do things very differently than theater companies. They work for like 6 weeks and have like three performances. I mean, it was, you know. And because they have a full orchestra, and it's very expensive, so they do one big weekend. And this was my first performance as Cinderella. And I'm wearing this wig that had been done for me, and I have this very heavy crown. So Cinderella comes down the stairs, and in the orchestra, there's a big brrrump where she falls on her butt. So I run down the stairs, my shoe comes off, I fall on my butt, and my heavy crown makes wig fall off.
Oh, no.
And I'm standing there, and I literally am sitting there as Cinderella with a stocking on my head.
Wow.
So I push everything back on my head, and the audience is dying. Sure. It was five minutes. And finally, the baker's wife makes her way over to me, trying not to laugh. Her name is Ryan, amazing actress. And she looks at me and she goes, "What's wrong?" And I went, because my line is, "Oh, it's just these shoes." And I said, "Oh, it's just these shoes and this hair." And everyone died again. The next time I came down the stairs, I checked my hair to make sure it didn't fall off.
I would have kept the bit.
Bit through act two. Fantastic. I was like, let's do this all day
long. Well, obviously, these are things that happen to so many performers. But the point of it is that, hey, it's live theater.
Yeah,
right.
You just go.
I don't think people understand how important that is to see people struggling through things that may not go exactly the way they want them to. Nothing better than that.
No, Michael, two shows are ever alike.
That's right.
No.
I tell my kids all the time, you know, it's like, you may think you have it down now, whatever you're doing, sports or school or whatever else, it's going to change.
That's right.
It's going to change. So be prepared and be ready. Michael, we left a few minutes here at the end of the show to remind people about the cruise giveaway that Princess Cruises has so kindly offered to put up here.
So great. They've, I want to win.
So well, you can.
Okay, I'm going to go.
On. Michael and I aren't
Would
eligible,
you
but you are. Go on. I know, I tried. This is a cool thing. This is a medallion cruise, and the way you do it is you go to the LA Talk Radio page for State of the Arts. You'll see Michael and I's picture up there, and you click on the Princess Cruise ship logo that's right there, and you'll have instructions on how to be entered.
Absolutely.
Very
and
cool
you know, to have a vacation for two is a pretty great gift.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, it's expensive to go on these luxury vacations. So.
And they make everything so easy there,
they
at Princess.
Do.
It's a great thing.
And their entertainment also, you can check it out on that same logo. There's two lines that'll take you to two different destinations on their website. And, you know, they are known for their great entertainment as well. And their big production shows and
so many of our great performers that have gone on to Broadway started on those Princess Cruise ships, and some of them came back to the Princess Cruise ships, too, because they love the experience so much. So, well, we've posted pictures of our two amazing guests today. If you want to check out our Facebook page or our Instagram page, State of the Arts LA, you'll be able to see them and match a face with the amazing voices you heard today. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you. Such a pleasure.
Thing. Really great stuff.
Nice to have you back. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I've actually been in your seat before. I've co-hosted for Michael.
Don't you come take my job. Though, and I already had to put Paul Strolli in a closet and keep him tied up to keep him from coming back.
Oh, I know. I put him in there first.
Did
I get
you?
It, yeah.
I saw that space was back there for him. I thought Kristen must have put him there already. Well, this we want to remind people about the great theater going on here one more time. The Cape and the Clan at LA, at Group Rep World Premiere. It's an amazing theater. It's in the Upstairs Theater, the Lonnie Chapman. It's March 18th is the closing date, so still a little time to get out there and see it. Saturday and Sunday, Saturday matinees. No Sunday matinees, is that correct?
No.
Okay. So Saturday matinees, 2 p.m. That's great.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
We're in rep with another show, that's why.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Sunday evenings at 7 through March 11th, and the show's been extended now all the way through the
The 18th.
The 18th. Okay, right. Great. That's fantastic.
And to get your tickets, and we, as we said earlier, 818-763-5990, or go to thegrouprep.com online, and you can purchase them that way as well.
That's right. Of course, Little Women is going up as well. We'd encourage you to get out there and check that out. A great musical, and it's really getting a lot of really positive reviews. Morgan Wixon Theater, you can obviously check out them online and find some great theater near you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm directing for Inkfest, which is this weekend. Inkfest is a celebration of female playwrights. It's all new works.
Where's that at?
It's at the Hudson Theater.
Great.
And it's through Two Cent Theater Company, and you can go to their website or their Facebook page. And my show is called We Will Not Describe the Conversation, which is on Saturday night at 11 p.m.
Wow.
It's the late
director.
Night feature.
She's
thank
a wonderful
you.
Director.
Thank you.
A lot of things that you've done.
Yes,
thank
she
you.
Is a wonderful yep. director.
Well, we
thank
want
you.
Both of you to come back and see us again soon. Will you
please.
Promise to do that?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Michael, where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.